Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me? Oh, that's good. So, Happy New Year to everybody. You'll know it's a little bit too late. And today, as you know, I've been preaching here for several years, and you probably have a good idea about what I might preach about. Will it be about the holiness of God, or will it be about the justification? Or will it be about the judgment of God? Or will it be about salvation? But today I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to preach on a topic that's been I've been itching to preach for a long, long time, and that is the topic of heaven. And I'm going to surprise you again. I'm not going to start my sermon with an obscure 16th century reformer, or even more obscure 17th century Puritan. But I am going to start my sermon with a 20th century Puritan, just to show that I do read 20th century books, and I'm not stuck in the 17th century. So today we're going to read three short passages from the Bible. One is from the Gospel of Luke, one is from the book of Philippians, and their large section is from Revelation. And if you do have your Bible, in Revelation 21, verse 22. But I'll just read the two small passages from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is on the cross, and the two thieves at the beginning were reviling and mocking Jesus. But then one of the thieves comes to his senses. He realizes that Jesus is innocent and that he, the thief, is really condemned. And he says to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And what does Jesus say to him? He says, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." We turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. And what does the Apostle Paul say? He says, "To live is Christ, and to die is gain." And then we turn to the last book of the Bible, right at the end, Revelation chapter 21, verse 22, to Revelation 22, verse 5. And I have to read it to you. This is John's vision. "I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Chapter 22. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." Amen. It's beautiful verses. As many of you know, 100 years ago, the Western churches fell into the deadly trap of liberal teaching. But there was some godly man who defended the faith. In the late 19th century, we had Charles Spurgeon, we had J.C. Ryle, and in the 20th century, we had Barnhouse and Tozer and Meacham, very famous pastors and theologians who defended the faith. But in the 20th century, God raised a particularly godly pastor who is well known as a 20th century Puritan in the city, in the country of Wales. His name was Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, one of the wisest and godliest pastors of the 20th century. Some people I know in this congregation actually met him. One day, somebody asked Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones this very interesting question. He said, "Why does the New Testament not tell us more about our life in heaven? Why does the New Testament not tell us more about our life in heaven?" Now, that's a fair question, because if you read through the New Testament actually tells us more about hell than it actually tells us about heaven. Now, Martin Lloyd-Jones, being a very wise man, his answer was a very profound one. And when I read it, I was struck by what he said, and I'd like to share it with you. You have to listen carefully because he's quite profound. He said, "I have two answers to give. The first is this, and I'm sure that it is right. We are not told more about heaven because, in a sense, we cannot be told more. Everything in this world is sinful, even our language. I do not hesitate to assert that if the New Testament had given us a detailed description of heaven and of being with Christ, our language would misrepresent it. Our language is not pure enough. The thing, the heaven, is so wonderful that all the vocabularies of the universe are not adequate to describe it. It is so glorious and so wonderful that there is nothing in our language to describe it." I think that's a very good answer, and I think he's right. The second answer is that the second reason why we are not deliberately told is that we may think of it as Paul thought of it. Paul said, "To live is Christ, and to die is gain." The only man who is really happy about death, and the only one who can say confidently, "To die is gain," is the man who has said, "To me, to live is Christ." That is what enabled Paul to say it. Christ was the passion of his life. To know him, to dwell with him, that is the thing, said Paul. To be with Christ is far better. I think Martin Lloyd-Jones is right. Our hope is not really to go to heaven. Our hope is to be with Christ. That is our hope. It's an interesting thing that if you go to the New Testament, you will never see that when Christians die, they go to heaven. It says over and over again, they go to be with Christ. Philippians says, "To depart means to be with Christ." To the Corinthians, Paul says, "To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." To the dying thief, Jesus says, "You will go to heaven." He says, "You will be with me in paradise." That is the hope of a Christian. What makes heaven heaven? Heaven is heavenly because we are with Christ. There was, and I'm going back to 17th century, sorry. In the 17th century, there was a good Puritan called Thomas Goodwin. He said something very interesting. He said, "If I were to go to heaven and find that Christ was not there, I would leave immediately, for heaven would be hell to me without Christ." That's a very interesting quote, because the reason why many people, including many people in the church today, want to go to heaven is not because they want to be with Christ, is because they want to avoid going to hell. I think that's true. They have no interest in Christ. They only want to escape hell. Is that true? I think that's true. So you must ask yourself this question. Why do you want to go to heaven? What will be your greatest joy there? Is it to see Jesus? Is it to be with Jesus? Heaven can only be heaven because Jesus is there. Heaven can only be heaven if we can praise and glorify Him. If Jesus was not in heaven, would you be happy in heaven? That's a question you need to consider. John Owen. Who knows John Owen? Put your hand up. Okay, not personally, says Andrew Kelly, but Andrew knows about John Owen. Okay, he was one of the greatest theologians ever in England. He said, "The glory of heaven consists in the full manifestation of divine wisdom, goodness, grace, holiness, of all the properties of the nation of God, of the nature of God in Christ." Okay, it's a bit difficult to understand. What he's saying is that our full joy in heaven is to see God perfectly in His glory, in His majesty, in His holiness, in His goodness, and His kindness. We will see God face to face. That will be heaven to you. So, my friends, does that interest you? Does that excite you? If not, why not? That's the question. Do you want to go to heaven and see the beauty of God? Does that excite you? Or is the only reason you want to go to heaven is because you want to avoid going to hell? You have the wrong intentions. Now, my second point is very similar to my first point. Heaven is Christ-centered. Heaven is Christ-centered. Where is the Lamb of God? He is in the midst of the throne. Where is the throne? It is at the very heart of heaven. Christ is the very center and the very center of attention in heaven. He's the focal point. Every eye is on Him. The Lamb receives every bit of glory. Indeed, the glory in heaven is so glorious, there is no need for a sun. Now, like moths are attracted to light, so we should be attracted to the glory of Jesus Christ. Revelation 22 verse 4 says, "We will see His face, and His face will be brighter than the sun." Samuel Rutherford was a well-known Scottish preacher in the 17th century. He gave a very excellent illustration of why heaven is Christ-centered. He said, when the bride gets married and comes to the church, what does the bride look at? Does she look at her clothes? Does she look at the pastor? Does she look at the flowers? Does she look at the church? What is the one thing that the bride is looking at? Who can give me the answer? The groom. The bride is looking at the groom. I'm sure that when my wife came in and walked down the aisle, she looked at me. Did she? I don't know. I was too nervous. And I saw she was too nervous as well. But the bride looks at the groom, and the groom looks at the bride. They love each other. The bride affection is for the groom. And who is the groom in heaven? It's Jesus Christ. Okay? So the bride's delight is in her bridegroom's face. We will see the Lord's face. And we will give us the greatest of joys. So my question to you today is, do you long to see His face? Does the thought of being with Christ for all eternity give you the greatest joy, the hope, and peace? That's the question you need to consider this day. Are you in love with Jesus Christ? Is He the center of your attention? My third point is similar to the first and second point. Our entry into heaven is only by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down His life for the sheep. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. There is no possibility of you ever reaching heaven if it is not through Jesus Christ. Richard Baxter said, "Heaven is the fruit of the blood of the Son of God. Yes, it is the chief fruit. Our entry to heaven is only through Jesus Christ. Our entitlement to stay in heaven is only through Jesus Christ. Jesus brings you to heaven. Jesus keeps you in heaven. And Jesus is your heaven. Jesus brings you to heaven. Jesus keeps you in heaven. And Jesus is your heaven." Recently, I read a book called Heaven and Hell. It's written by an Irish pastor, 20th century. He has a very excellent story about his father who went to the United States with a friend called Noble in the 1950s. Now, as you know, back in the 1950s, it's very difficult to travel internationally, not like today. Now, Noble was a millionaire, and he asked Edward's father to come to the United States for a holiday at Noble's expense. It was a very unusual experience in those days. After the trip, whenever Edward's father spoke about his journey to the United States, he would rarely say, "When I went to America." Instead, he usually said, "When I was with Noble." You see, the trip was so completely his friend's gift that he couldn't think of the trip without remembering the one who made it possible. So that's the same for us. Our trip to heaven is only made possible because of the saving work of Jesus Christ. We shouldn't say, "When I go to heaven." We should say, "When I go to be with Christ." That's what we should say. Richard Baxter, who wrote probably the best book ever written on heaven, said, "Let the words 'deserved' be written on the door to hell, but let the words 'the free gift' be written on the door to heaven." It's true. Our entry and entitlement to heaven is because of the work of Jesus Christ. What should be your response? Well, Revelation 5:11 tells us, "We worship the Lord forever and ever for his infinite goodness and mercy." That's what we'll do. My last point is this. Always remember that heaven is Jesus' home. Always remember that heaven is Jesus' home. What does this mean for us? It means there is no sin in heaven. Is that good news? That is great news. My heart and the devil and the world are always enticing me to sin. But in heaven, there is no sin. Even better, we will have no desire to sin. There is no devil there. There are no evil spirits there. There's no lying, no temptations, no violence, no drunkenness, no deceptions, no greed, no pride. Heaven is perfect in purity and holiness. There's no unrighteousness of any sort. Heaven is, as Jonathan Edwards famously said, a world of love. Heaven is a world of love. If we could glimpse into heaven and catch a glimpse of its perfection, you would rightly say, "I don't belong there." Well, that's true. We don't belong there. But thanks be to God that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are cleansed from all unrighteousness. We are cleansed from all unrighteousness. My last point is this. If we desire to be with Christ, we must be made fit for heaven now. if we desire to be with Christ, we must be made fit for heaven now. Charles Spurgeon told his congregation, "If we do not get into heaven before we die, we will never get into heaven after we die." Well, he's right. If we never get into heaven before we die, we will never get into heaven after we die. We should live as though we are in heaven right now. We should live as though we are in heaven right now. So, my question, do you find delight in reading the Bible? Do you enjoy talking with God? Do you like singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? What hymn are we going to sing in heaven? Well, I know one of them, Holy, 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 which we're going to sing afterwards. But there's a lot more, I'm sure. Do you look forward to the Lord's Day and meeting with Christians? Do you like to be holy? Do you long to be like Jesus? If we're honest with ourselves, I'm sure there are some of you in this congregation who don't think about heaven and think even little about Jesus Christ. You don't talk to God. Your Bibles are on your shelf gathering dust. Christian books, you never read them. Hymns, they really hurt your ears. You're always looking at your watches, hoping to go home, especially if Troy is preaching. I hope not. Okay? I hope you're not looking at your watches, right? But I'm sure there are some of you here who can't wait to get out of church. I know this is true because back in my home in Australia, I look at my congregation sometimes, and if the pastor goes 5 minutes after the service, everybody's looking, well, not everybody, but some people are looking at their watches. They're itching to go home. Now, that should really ring alarm bells in your ear. You should be really happy to come to church. You should be really happy to read the Word of God. You should be really happy to pray to God. Because what are you going to do in heaven? If you're not interested here, why should you be interested in heaven? I think it's true for some of us that deep down in your hearts, your affections are really on your bank accounts or getting more assets or expanding your careers. You're more earthward than heavenward. For others, you love your sin, but you think you're bound to heaven. You love sin, but you think you have a ticket to heaven. You happily fooled yourself that you can both have your sin and heaven too. And you hopefully fool yourself that Jesus will be just as foolish as you. Be heaven-minded. Be holy as if you were in heaven right now. Don't be so earthward. Be heavenly-minded. I love the quote that Isaac Walton gave to Richard Sibbes, who was a godly pastor. This is what he said about Richard Sibbes. "Of this blessed man, let this just praise be given. Heaven was in him before he was in heaven." I think it's beautiful. Let me read it again so you can remember it. "Of this blessed man, let this just praise be given. Heaven was in him before he was in heaven." I think that's an excellent quote. And it should be something that we need to be. Richard Baxter, who wrote The Saint's Everlasting Rest, the best book ever on heaven, I guess. When he was 30, the doctor said, "You're going to die." But he lived another 46 years to 76. Anyway, physicians are often wrong. So as his life began to ebb away when he was 30, he began to think much about heaven. And he decided to write down all his thoughts about heaven. Anyway, after he recovered, he thought this was a great practice to do. And so every day, for 30 minutes, he would think about heaven. That's what he did for the rest of his life. Because he said, I'm going to spend the rest of my life there. So I might as well get familiar with it before I get there. So every day, before he went to sleep, he sat down and thought 30 minutes about heaven. Now, for most of us, we don't have 30 minutes to think about heaven. But I would encourage you that every day, think much about heaven. Because that's where you're going. Or that's where you hope to go. So think about it. Meditate on it. What are you going to do there? You're going to sing. You're going to look at the Lord's face. You're going to see His glory and holiness, His power and majesty. Does that interest you? Does that excite you? Do you have a passion for that? You should. Because if you don't, it may be a sign that you are really not a Christian. And you need to examine yourself. It may be a sign that although your heart tells you you're going to heaven, you're really not going to heaven. It should be ringing alarm bells in your head. Remember what Jesus says. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? I could say, what does it profit you if you have millions and millions in your bank account but lose your own soul? What does it profit you if you have lots and lots of sinful enjoyment now but lose your own soul? There are many so-called Christians who always have the go to the happy hour on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Get drunk, sleep around, tell dirty jokes, but tell me all the time, I'm bound for heaven. I can tell them they are not bound for heaven. Heaven is holy. If you're a true Christian, you are going to be heavenly minded and live like a heavenly person right now. It is the devil's greatest deception that one can enter heaven without knowing Jesus Christ. It's also the devil's great deception that there is a heaven without a Christ. Both are deceptions from the devil. And minions have paid the ultimate price for being deceived. Are you one of them? I pray that you are not. So I urge you to place your total and absolute and complete trust in Jesus Christ, who is both willing and able to save sinners such as yourselves. May God bless you all. And if you have any questions about heaven, I'll be happy to tell you. Now we're going to sing a beautiful hymn that the angels are singing right now. So let's join with them and sing Holy, Holy, Holy.